Pop Spotting 157.
Tuesday, November 1st, 2011. Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
It's TV Tuesday, and as promised, we're going to focus on the more fantastical side of TV with four current shows.
We're going to start with our first impressions of American Horror Story on FX. It's been on for a while, but we saved it for Halloween weekend to watch it.
And then we're going to talk about the pilots of both Once Upon a Time and Grimm.
Finally, we're going to check in on season two of The Walking Dead. Now, we've only seen the first two episodes, but we are eager to see how one of the hottest shows on TV is going to do its sophomore year.
If you haven't heard, its record ratings led to its renewal for a third season last week, so the zombies will keep on coming.
Right. Now, of course, these are going to be our takes, and we'd love to hear yours. In fact, we'd like to hear yours, particularly if you vehemently disagree. We'll try to keep things relatively vague and light on spoilers, but if you are not completely up to date on these shows or are particularly sensitive about knowing what's going to happen before you've seen it, you might want to tread carefully. With that said, let's start our trip through the surprisingly robust fantasy world of television right now, beginning with American Horror Story. Now, this is the new fall show that's been around the longest, though we've only seen two episodes so far. What's the setup here?
It stars Connie Britton and Dylan McDermott as Vivian and Ben Harmon. They move across country for a fresh start in life, but unbeknownst to them, they end up in a home with a very dark past. Thaisa Farmiga plays their daughter, Violet.
Now, this show was marketed as being from the creators of Glee, Ryan Murphy and Brad Falchuk, and when we were looking forward to this show, we were, but we were kind of worried about that connection. Now that we've seen the first couple of episodes, was that trepidation at all justified?
Well, what I didn't realize at the time was that Falchuk and Murphy were also behind Nip Tuck, which was also a pretty dark show. So what we got from American Horror Story was a little bit surprising.
Now, I have to say, I'm really enjoying this film, but I say that with kind of quotes around the word enjoying, because it's hard to say that I'm having a lot of fun with American Horror Story, but it is a very intense, very striking, and unforgettable series, one that I'm certainly going to keep watching.
It's not a barrel of laughs. This is not a fun show to watch. It's very dark and twisted in ways that I have never seen on TV before. There's such a huge emphasis on psychological horror. I mean, right. There is a fair amount of blood, but the scariest part of the show is what's going on in your brain as you watch it. And this show really gets into some heavy topics: school violence, miscarriage, birth defects, infidelity.
Yeah, I mean, it is a very intense show. It is certainly not what I expected. I mean, I do have more of a cartoony view of what a horror series would be, and it is on that front that I do think that it's great that American Horror Story is on television. I think that this is a world, a side, a genre that needs this kind of exploration, but it is very intense. It is very heavy. It is something that might be hard to take if it's the last thing you watch before you go to bed.
And this show has a lot of sex in it, but it's not sexy sex. It's scary sex.
Well, and not specifically sex. I mean, there is some pretty pivotal sex scenes, but overall, there's just this simmering kind of looming kind of menacing sexuality, sensuality, sort of that energy everywhere. Even when people get close, even when people get intimate, there's a whole lot of baggage that goes with it. It keeps you off balance. It makes you uncomfortable. It's brilliant. It's brilliant, but it's still, like I said, it's kind of hard to watch.
And a lot of the horror on this show is very visual. It's as scary to watch as it is to hear, because the cinematography, there's a lot of jump cuts and zooms and random shadows lurking in certain shots. It's very creepy, and it's a very good exploration of the horror movie style.
Yeah, it's very stylish. I mean, some people might say too stylish, but I think that they're just really relishing it. They're really reveling in it. They're enjoying that exploration. The skipped frames, you know, things kind of jump here, they cut there. You almost expect to see cigarette burns. They're making it look like a horror movie slash maybe Twin Peaks episode, mm-hmm. in terms of the framing and the style. I get a real distinct kind of Nine Inch Nails, Trent Reznor feel to some of it, and particularly the opening titles, the title sequence for this show. It's got to be a Trent Reznor joint.
This is really my favorite title sequence of all time.
Well, it's certainly up there. It's certainly memorable. I mean, like, Dexter is really sharp and clean and clinical and yet disturbing. This is kind of the opposite side of that, but I do love it. And, you know, this show certainly does benefit by having some scary-looking people in it as well.
Dennis O'Hare from True Blood plays a burn victim named Larry Harvey, and the makeup job on this guy is really amazing, and you just see his face for so many long takes that it is very unsettling.
And there's more of that, and there is more, you know, sort of flash and fantasy sequences where you've got monsters and teeth and fangs and eyes and everything. I think they do a really good job with kind of that presentation. But let's get to the human side of it. The reason why I think we tuned into it was some of the actors, some of the performers in this show.
Connie Britton plays Vivian. She's my favorite TV actress.
Tabby Taylor.
She's amazing as expected. And Dylan McDermott is very good. He just plays such a slime ball. Ben is really whiny and manipulative and deceptive. I feel no pity for him at all, but I'm really enjoying Dylan McDermott try to get in his head.
Well, that's exactly right. Connie Britton, fantastic. Good to see her again. You know, she's playing the wife, but she is, I think, as far as TV is concerned, the wife. Capital T, capital W. Just the realism and the authenticity that she brings to a marriage and a broken marriage is spectacular here. And yes, Dylan McDermott is doing everything he can to make you hate him and have no sympathy for him. What about Jessica Lange?
Well, she steals every scene she's in. If there is any funny in this series, it's because of Jessica Lange, because her character is just incredibly rude, incredibly politically incorrect, and hilarious.
Well, she is hilarious in that sense, but she's still also scary and menacing and evil. She locks her daughter in a room so she can get it on with
her developmentally disabled daughter.
Yeah, I mean, she's not a good person. I don't know if I'd say she steals every scene. I think that she's enjoying chewing scenery sometimes, but I am enjoying watching her, so that's pretty much the same thing. And the daughter in this series, Tysa Farmiga, I think she's not bad.
No, she's very good. I sympathize with her because she's a New Yorker at heart and she's trying to fit in Los Angeles, but at the same time, she's a little scary because she's got her own demons.
I like her. I mean, and she's early on the one who says, great, you know, we're now the Addams family. I'm going to kind of look to her to be a little more grounded than some of these other characters, especially as things spiral out of control. I am kind of worried that her character is going to give the show an excuse to explore some pretty well-trod high school horror conventions, but they might be able to do something interesting as they are doing with everything else. Of course, she has a crush on a blonde boy, Tate, played by Evan Peters, somebody who has his own demons, but I think even more so, somebody that's being set up as someone we're going to have to be afraid of in the long run.
He's dangerous, but he's charming. I mean, even when he's, you know, telling Ben his really twisted fantasies, you kind of want to feed him and hug him.
I don't know if I'd call him charming, but definitely a compelling character. So just overall, I like the premise of the show. I like that we're already going to be seeing this family and these weird neighbors, scary neighbors, as well as exploring the history of this infamous haunted house and meeting the ghosts from the past. They might be playing with flashbacks, which could be interesting. Obviously, Ben's already kind of under the spell and is perhaps going to start changing in dangerous ways. I think my only complaint, as I mentioned, about the show is that it is so serious and heavy. I think a show can collapse under all of that weight. If there is no humor, if there is nothing compelling about the characters that make you care about them or want to know how things turn out for them, you don't want to make watching this show a chore or being a little masochistic and abusive to yourself.
Yeah.
Let's go over to the network side for some considerably less intense material. Let's start with Once Upon a Time. This show was being as promoted as being from the writers of Lost. It's on ABC Sundays, and it had an interesting premise. It's about fairy tale characters that are trapped in the present. They're unaware of where they come from, and I guess we're also going to explore the backstories of these fairy tales that everybody knows, but yes, with a twist. Now, we've only seen the pilot. The second episode just aired this past Sunday. I do know that the premiere was ABC's best debut in 5 years, 16 million viewers, so we weren't alone in checking it out. How did you like at least the pilot of Once Upon a Time?
It didn't really grab me. I thought there were a lot of really good things about it, but the characters, I couldn't get into the characters because they seemed really kind of stock. You know, you have your tough chick who doesn't want to be a mom, and you have a precocious kid, and then you have a really cold career woman, and I couldn't get into anything that they were doing, and there are so many elements and so many things happening at one time, and I'm really afraid that this show is going to get confusing.
Well, you know, first of all, yes, there were stock characters, but that kind of goes back to the whole premise of the show. If these are in a way realistic depictions of characters we know in terms of fairy tales, there's going to be some degree of stereotypical behavior or flat behavior. I would also say that, like with some pilots, some of the stiffness and some of the awkwardness that I sense, I mean, I hear what you're saying on that front, but I'm hoping that I can attribute a lot of that to this being their first outing. They're whether on the production side or on the acting side, they're still filling each other out, still getting to know their characters. I will agree, though, that it doesn't exactly suck you in. It didn't really hit you the way that you were hoping it would because of the highly promoted connection to the show Lost. In fact, while there were many Lost shout-outs and Easter eggs and cute things, I find that a little fun but more distracting. And I think over time, if they keep it up, it's going to be almost insulting.
I agree. This show isn't Lost, and I think it can be as good as Lost, but there's no way that you can have a successful show if you're just emulating something else.
But, and I think that they can do something here. I think that I have a strong sense of the potential of the setup, of the scenario, of what they want to do. So I'm still going to keep following the show, and I think that the cast is one of the reasons why I like what we did see.
Yeah, it's an awesome cast. Jennifer Morrison from House as Emma, the protagonist. Jennifer Goodwin from Big Love as Snow White. Robert Carlyle from Trainspotting as Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah, and so if you like some of these actors, I think you're going to enjoy seeing them run around in this world. And I do kind of like that, maybe not specifically doing the flashback thing, but they are going to show two sides, the storybook fantasy world, the stories we all know, but with things that we might not have suspected or changing things there. And then this modern world where people are running around unaware of their history and maybe discovering these things or playing out in a modern way, a modern retelling of some of the plots that we know really well.
If we are split between the fantasy world and the modern retelling world, I find the modern world much more interesting.
Yeah, I think me too. I kind of want to get away from seeing Snow White running around and Prince Charming and all of that and spend more time in this place where time has stood still. But who knows? They might surprise us. I am kind of curious what the end game is too of Once Upon a Time. I mean, what are we building toward? As soon as we sort of see the setup with the boys saying these people don't know who they really are, I was starting to get flashbacks to season 6 of Lost with people waking up and seeing the reality of their situation. So I'm not sure I want them to go down that path. Let's move on to another show that's trying to say they'll give us a new twist on stories we grew up with, and that's over on NBC. The series is Grimm. We just saw the pilot. Episode 2 is coming up this Friday, and I'd say we're much more eager to see how this one plays out.
I love this show. It's just funny and scary. It combines what I like about cop shows with what I like about fantasy shows. It's got a sense of humor. It's beautiful to look at. I think this is my new favorite show of the season.
Well, I'm not sure if I'd rank it that high, but it was, to me, head and shoulders above Once Upon a Time. It's inevitable to make that comparison, and I think they're doing a great job with Grimm. I liked how you kind of said, and it's true, this is sort of a police procedural show with a fantasy element, and we are suckers for police procedurals, and plus adding in this sort of fantasy, deep mythology to the show, you know, the possibilities are endless. If Law and Order can be on the air for decades, if you could throw in them chasing around the big bad wolf, I mean, they could do so many great things with Grimm.
They could. There are tons of possibilities, but the thing I like about the show is that it's accessible. Just an average person can drop in and watch an episode, but there is also, I think, going to be a very deep mythology full of symbols and storylines and plot. And I mean, give me a good mythology any day and I will sit down and watch it.
Yeah, I mean, certainly they wasted no time in planting the seeds of that longer arc of that great backstory with ancient books and mysterious symbols and diagrams and a necklace that turns into a key. And what can that be possibly for? So yeah, I can see, you know, eating all that up and also just diving in to see the story of the week. Who's this bad guy? But certainly you're not going to watch any show for a long period of time if you don't like the characters. And although it was just the pilot, I think that this cast is pretty good. They distinguish themselves well, even though they're largely not well known. You've got David Giantoli. I think he was on an MTV reality show of some
sort.
Right, Road Rules. He's playing Detective Nick Burkhart. He He's our protagonist. He's got a partner, Hank, played by Russell Hornsby, who wasn't in Treatment. And we've got Silas Weir Mitchell, who's kind of, the standout character. He's playing Eddie, who was a recovering big bad wolf in the real world.
He's great.
He's fantastic. And, you know, you mentioned two things I do want to emphasize. It is one, the humor and the way the show looks. On the humor front, I think that's where Grimm got its hooks in me over, you know, Once Upon a Time and American Horror Story, because it's just the right level and just the right amount of clever and wry there. I mean, certainly this show is trying to be scary. It is menacing. It does kind of deal with bad guys. I think the pilot will give some people nightmares about mail carriers and, you know, kids in peril. They're not playing around here. But already the chemistry between our lead character, the detective Burkhart, and this former big bad wolf played by Mitchell, that's fantastic. That's fun. And that's what I'm going to be looking forward to when the show comes back this Friday. But the look, the cinematography, I don't normally think about cinematography with a TV show, but it just really stood out in this show.
It's shot in Portland, and I really think the producers take full advantage of the lush green scenery in Portland and really combine it with incredible angles and colors and shadows and turn it into something that looks beautiful.
Well, see, it's not just Portland. Whether they're out in the jungle with a creepy house or they're in a hallway, just something about the choices that they're making in terms of the lighting and shadows, like you said, the colors, the framing, the camera angles. Somebody is paying a lot of attention to the way the show looks, and it completely pays off. And you add to that some pretty good special effects, some decent action, and even in the pilot, they played with sound and music in particular. I thought, I want to see more of that in this show.
They use Sweet Dreams by the Eurythmics to open the show, but they close the show with an incredibly scary cover by Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, and we talked about that. And so, I mean, I just think that the show's got a lot of texture, a lot of depth. It feels real, and that's what makes the scary part scary. That's what makes the humor accessible, and that's what I think is going to make these characters real and people that we're going to want to check in with every Friday.
I can't wait to see what happens next.
All right. Well, running the risk of running a little long today, I do want to spend some time as well talking about The Walking Dead to wrap things up, this show on AMC. Now, Barry Labs asked us on Facebook if we've discussed the show, and we certainly have. It came up early on in our TV shows. We discussed it with Al when he came on in June, and we posted the panel audio from Comic-Con in July. Suffice it to say, we are big fans of this series. We were, like many people, really waiting a long time for it to return here with Season 2. Now that it's back, how do you think Walking Dead is carrying on?
I am completely wrapped. I think it started off with a bang. It really dropped you into the action, and it hasn't let up. I think the gore is amplified and the action is amplified, but I think the best part is that we're really getting to know these characters, and we've been introduced to some new ones.
Well, I really did love the Season 2 premiere. I agree. It picked up right where they left off. They're on the road leaving the CDC, but they're not moving for long. They get into this sort of freeway Carmageddon, I suppose. The road is blocked with wreckage and death, and they've got to deal with a zombie herd coming through, hiding from them, under cars, in cars, under zombies. Really gripping. Really had me sold. I think that it was a great start, but I'm not sure if I feel that they've completely sustained the tension or sustained that action. I would agree with your assessment that we're going to learn more and spend more time exploring these characters, but I'm also starting to wonder if that's really what I'm after with The Walking Dead. Maybe I just want more running from zombies. And, you know, the weak side for the premiere for me was that there was a lot of sort of pontificating and soliloquy out of Rick. He has this talking to himself conversation and the walkie-talkie where he gets a little too, I think, reflective and zen, and at the end he's questioning Jesus on the cross and talking to himself again. I mean, that kind of stuff, I'm just worried that they're going to get too heavy-handed with that kind of exposition. But otherwise, well, certainly the premiere was fantastic television. Good to have the show back.
Somebody tweeted, and I wish I could remember who, but they tweeted that this show is really more like Lost than Lost was sometimes, because there's a lot of talk about survival, and you're really getting the sense that it's not the zombies are the situation that's going to really be the bad part, but it's going to be the people surrounding you that is going to be the problem.
Well, I certainly see the lost parts. I mean, yes, it's the live together, die alone thing going on. I couldn't resist kind of the comparisons, though. In the first episode, suddenly people have magic tracking skills to find someone lost in the jungle. Episode 2 started with a flashback where everything was nice, or maybe not so nice, but at least not full of zombies. And most particularly, as you mentioned here in this season, we're going to meet another group of new people. It's sort of like the tail section development on Lost.
Except I think this introduction of these new characters feels more natural and less played up, and Norman Reedus' character is really reminding me of Sawyer.
Well, and then you've got Scott Wilson as Herschel Green and his surprisingly attractive daughter. I mean, I do like the new characters. I do also, though, have that same feeling with Lost, where I'm not sure I felt we're fully done or really explored everything we could have with the original gang. I don't like the dynamic that we have where they keep separating into smaller and smaller groups. I mean, some of this experience does seem very familiar. I also agree that they're sort of amping up the gore. They're making it more gross, and I guess that's what you're going to want out of a zombie show. They're digging around in guts, and I've heard various different ways to make the sound of a skull being crushed.
The Foley artists on this show have a lot of fun.
They absolutely do. And yet one thing struck me that I do think this show can try harder with the implied or suggested violence rather than the explicit violence. There's a scene where they come across a car seat in the back of a car that's just covered with blood, and that was horrifying to me in a way that sometimes seeing someone's brains get bashed in wasn't. I also have to say, I mean, as much as I love this show, that I am feeling a different pace, a different velocity. I mean, I did credit the show for taking its time when it needed to in season one. I don't want to sound like a hypocrite, but something about where we are, at least at the end of episode 2, I don't feel the same bigger picture threat. I don't feel the same overarching menace that they're living on the edge, that they're close to death, that they could die at any time. I mean, yes, there's a cliffhanger at the high school, but for the most part, I'm sensing some sense of complacency already. Sure, you've got a missing kid, but that wasn't enough. Let's have another problem with another kid, and they're in a nice farmhouse, and there's a lot of talking going on, and I don't know, I just don't feel the same tension as I did, at least in season 1.
Well, I think the story demands that they have to stay in this one place because of the crisis that they're facing. I think they're most focused on dealing with what they're dealing with right now, and then I think they will eventually have to go back on the road and face an even bigger threat there.
Yeah, I mean, that's inevitable. I think maybe they'll pick it up. You're right. I mean, it's a little early to say that it's slower, that it's less tense, and I'm probably just being impatient. I sort of felt the same way when they landed at the CDC and spent a little more time than I think they should have there. Maybe I just want them to keep moving, but they can't always keep moving, and I do agree that what they're making time for, I mean, they're not wasting time. There's more exploration of the characters, and I'm enjoying some of that for sure.
I'm enjoying it too, because we're starting to see the survivors unravel a little bit. The relationship between Rick and Shane, and the situation with T-Dog, and the situation with Andrea and Dale also.
Yeah, so I mean, I am enjoying exploring these characters more. And in terms of, you know, watching these characters evolve, what's going on with the zombies? I mean, you and I both feel that the zombies are a little different here in season 2 too.
They're very quick. They're actively looking for people hiding as opposed to just running into them, and they're nimble. They can run.
Yeah, I mean, the scene where the zombie comes on the RV and is sort of looking around, and I just see a higher level of sentience there, almost personality. Certainly they are more agile. They are much faster. So I don't know, are the zombies becoming more evolved and more threatening, or maybe just the writers and the creators felt that the zombies can't be quite as slow and dumb as they were for us to be as scared of them? But it seemed really noticeable for me. And still the zombies are a little strange. In the scene where they come up with a whole bunch of them walking around at the high school, and they're just in the parking lot walking in circles, I was expecting them to break out into Thriller or something. It just seems strange how they behave sometimes.
Well, maybe that particular group isn't well evolved, and that might be something that they're getting ready to explore on the show.
Well, that's an interesting theory. I mean, part of the problem is we're not reading the graphic novel, and so some people know where the story might go or might not. A lot of people are taking, you know, issue with some of the changes that were made with the show versus the graphic novel, and we can't speak to that at all. So right. We can only go with what's going on the screen. Fortunately, what is on screen is good stuff. Now, despite what sounds like complaints and little nitpicks, I am loving Walking Dead. I still love the show. I'm already sad.
Did you notice the Breaking Bad Easter egg?
The blue drugs, the blue meth in the bag.
Yes.
That was a really, really nice touch. But in any case, yes, I'm glad it's back. I'm sad that it's going to be a short season. I am also, I mean, I think there is a looming cloud over the show because, you know, with the Frank Darabont situation, him being taken off the show, Glenn Mazzara coming back on, I think a lot of us are going to be watching this season to see if we can tell maybe when we lose his magic touch on the show. But I hope not. I hope that it stays as good as it is. I only hope for the best for The Walking Dead.
We're still hooked. I mean, what's not to love about a zombie apocalypse show?
Exactly. It's right up our alley. And with that, let's wrap up TV Tuesday for this week. If you enjoy our podcast, we do hope you will take a moment to think about friends and family members of yours who might like Pop Spotting as well. We'd always love your help to grow our clearly awesome podcast family.
You can share a link to Pop Spotting on Facebook or tweet a shout out to us on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And one of the best ways to bring new listeners into the fold is to rate our show or even post a review. You can do that in the iTunes podcast directory.
We'd appreciate anything that you can do. More listeners means more creative ideas, fun feedback, and other good stuff for everybody. So every little like and tweet and share helps here.
Tomorrow is Wildcard Wednesday, and we're going to confess our favorite ways to waste time online.
Exactly. We're kind of good at that. Our theme song was created by Dan Pashman of the Sporkful podcast, and our show is powered by the coolest, brightest burning, cleanest burning fuel on earth, and that's you. Thank you for listening to our show.
For Pop Spotting, I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
Aloha.